But back to our text and our passage for today. Philemon chapter 1, looking in verse 6. It takes a lot of different elements for things to grow, particularly plants. You need water, you need sunshine, you need the right soil, and several other different components. And my wife and I, you know, particularly my wife, God bless her. That woman has tried to grow many things in our lives and has killed everything apart from the children. Anything she's ever tried to grow has died. And so I bought her a cactus in New Mexico. A cactus in the desert seems like a pretty fair bet. But remarkably, unbelievably, you might say, my wife managed to kill a cactus in our front yard. It didn't grow. It died. Believers need to grow. Jesus, if they're not careful, their spiritual life can start to die. There are a lot of reasons why that we should share our faith, and we've been talking about that the last several weeks, that there are lost souls, there are people who don't know Jesus Christ, that are going to a devil's hell for eternity apart from Jesus. That's a pretty good reason to share the truth in and of itself. But as believers, we want to walk in obedience to God. The King of the world, Jesus Christ, has said to do it. And so as his children and as part of his kingdom, his servants, we want to do what the King says. But here's another good reason that we're going to look at today, is that you grow in your faith when you share your faith, when you share the gospel. So believers share their faith. One of the reasons believers share their faith to grow in their spiritual maturity. Look at Philemon chapter 1, verse 6. Just to give us some context, I'll begin in verse 4. I thank my God always when I remember you in my prayers, because I hear of your love and of the faith that you have heard toward the Lord Jesus and for all the saints. And I pray that the sharing of your faith may become effective, the full knowledge of every good thing that is in us for the sake of Christ. So let's pray. Father, we thank you for this time to gather as brothers and sisters in Christ, for that we get to encourage and challenge one another, and we get to collectively celebrate you. And so, Father, I pray that we would feel the presence of the Holy Spirit here today. He would convict our hearts, he would embolden us, he would guide us. He would speak through me, and I ask these things in Jesus' name. Amen. Point number one is sharing and caring. See, God wants you to be effective when sharing your faith. Did you know that? God's not some cruel taskmaster that, hey, I want them to do something, and they're not going to be good at it, but it's going to be funny to watch, amusing. No, God wants you to be effective in sharing your faith. Of the Apostle Paul writing, and says, I pray that the sharing of your faith may become effective. See, we share our faith in many ways. As brothers and sisters in Christ, we share our faith in fellowship. I don't need to preach the gospel. I don't need to share the gospel to people who know and love the gospel. And so we share our faith in other ways. We share it through fellowship, which isn't just enjoying each other's company. It's about being in partnership for the kingdom. But we share our faith outside of God's family with the gospel, with the good news. We have that responsibility. We've all heard the expression, sharing is caring, right? Now, when you have babies and toddlers, in which I have both of those in my life, or have had them, and toddlers and babies aren't very good at sharing, are they? And matter of fact, they won't care about something until the other one has it. Has it been anybody else's experience? I mean, that toy can have been blocked away under under a shed somewhere, and the kids don't care about it at all. Then one of the other kid gets it out, and he starts to like it. And the more the other kid's jealous, what happens? The more the other kid wants to hold on to it. That's been everybody else's experience, that because he knows the good that he's got, and he won't share it. Sharing your faith is giving the good you've already got. You know that? That you and I have received the good news. We've trusted Jesus Christ. We've been saved. We've been forgiven. Sometimes believers aren't very good at sharing. They're good at hoarding it. Sharing the good news is giving the good you've already got. Are you with me, church? Kind of weak. That's kind of weak. Every week I'm gonna stop prodding them into listening. But then every week it's this weak sort of stuff. So I'm making sure everybody's listening. That sounds like we want to share the faith. Amen, church. Okay. Everybody's awake. I'm just checking. I like this will help. We all know what this is: a sponge and a bucket. When you put the sponge in the water, it's doing the right thing. It absorbs it. And maybe if it's water or soap or whatever it is, it stays in there for a little while. But at the end of the day, before you're done with that sponge, you squeeze it out to make sure that sponge is useful, right? You can use it again. Now what happens if you get the sponge, it gets all wet, and you just leave it there? And you keep it there, and it stays wet days at a time or weeks at a time. And what happens? Eventually it begins to stink. And it begins to sour. It's mildewy. And then you make it useless. And then you simply want to throw it away. I know a lot of believers that they've hung on to truth. They've soaked things up for so long and they've never shared with anybody. So they've shared the good teaching they've heard. They've soaked up the good fellowship that they have, but they've never shared it with anybody else. And you know what happens to believers that don't share? They begin to stink. They begin to sour. Instead of loving Jesus Christ, they begin to love other things more. I remember in the last church I was at, bold move. But we changed the pews. The chairs. And if you can believe it, we had people leave the church over what people were sitting on. I wish that wasn't a joke. I wish it wasn't a real story and it was a joke. But people left the church, stopped serving God over what they were sitting on. You know what happened to them? They've been soaking in the good news for so long, but they haven't been squeezed at all. They hadn't wrung it out. They begin to sour and to stink, obviously not literally, but metaphorically, their spirits began to sour. And that's not what you were designed for, brothers and sisters. So that you may become effective. The word effective here is the word where we get our word energy. And this word is used in the New Testament only of superhuman power, supernatural power for good or for evil. We know that the dark, I don't want to say the dark side because that's confusing, but we know the evil side, right? Satan's side, they have supernatural power too. The believers have supernatural power. And the only time this word is used in the New Testament is talking about supernatural power. Power that you cannot do on your own. See, God wants you to do something supernatural through you. He gives us the message. He gives us the words. He produces conviction. He does the drawing. He draws people's hearts and souls to Him. And all we have to do to be faithful, all we have to do, share that message. And God's doing all the work. But God says, I promise you, I will speak through you. I will use you. I will embolden you. He says, I will do all those things that you can't otherwise do yourself. But you've got to do your part. It can be frustrating and discouraging to try a task when you're not equipped for it, right? Ever been there? I remember as young children, in the neighborhood, we would run around like wild animals. This was a wild time in the 90s, and so we built this ramp for our bicycles, which children building anything is usually a bad idea. And so we built this bicycle ramp, and amazingly, it actually worked and was really high, and people could get really far on it. And my friends wanted me to go on the ramp, but I didn't have a bike that was made for that. I wasn't equipped for the task. But day after day, they were doing these sweet tricks. And day after day, they pushed me and prodded me to do something I didn't want to do and I knew I wasn't equipped for. But like a lot of children, I gave in to peer pressure. And I remember going up the ramp, fast little legs, going as fast as I could. And I remember going up the ramp, and while midair, I remember my handlebars falling down, which is not what handlebars are supposed to do. They're supposed to be up, and my handlebars were down. And as you can imagine, that I crashed and hurt myself, which is often the case with when children are in charge of themselves. But it was a task that I was not equipped for, and I knew it. It was a very frustrating experience. But I want you to know, brothers and sisters in Christ, that Jesus hasn't called you to do something he hasn't equipped you for. That he has given us the Holy Spirit to make us effective. So maybe in your own strength and your own power and your own ability, you can't be a faithful witness. But with the Holy Spirit living in us, empowering us, you can be. See, God wants to use you to share his story. And he's given you the power to do it. So point number one, we see that sharing and caring. Look at point number two, we see that knowing and growing. Look at the latter part here of verse 6. Be effective, that you may become effective for the full knowledge of every good thing that is in us for the sake of Christ. See, through sharing our faith, we grow in spiritual maturity. Christian faith without evangelism can seem incomplete and boring. Imagine a dancer who practiced their whole life, never danced. Imagine a football player who trained and worked out, never played a game. Imagine singers who practiced and learned songs but never performed. In the same way, those people would feel incomplete. And the same is true for believers who week after week they hear preachers talking about it. They study in their Bibles and in their classes, and yet they haven't been able to do what God has called them to do. It's easy to feel incomplete, maybe even bored with that sort of faith. It says it wants us to be effective for the full knowledge of every good thing that is in us. See, this is referring to the deep, rich, full, experiential knowledge of the truth. This is not simply some sort of mental assertion, some sort of mental exercise where we understand who Jesus is and understand the things that we should do, and point A leads to point B. No, this is an experiential knowledge where we know, where we experience this knowledge. See, we experience more of God's goodness when we share our faith. It deepens our faith and trust in him and our need for God. It's God's calling you to supernatural work, and you can't do it on your own. I'm telling you, it forces you, it pushes you to do things where you have to lean and you have to trust on him. If you only live a life that you can do in your own power, then yeah, you'll start thinking, boy, I don't need the Lord in my life. And you don't need the Lord in your life to live a life that many people live, that many of our coworkers and friends. God's far from their life. But if you want to do kingdom work that lasts for eternity, you're going to need God's power. Experiential knowledge. The story is told of a young man who was about to take over a business for an older man that he had known well and loved and cared for. And as they were about to leave a building, he said, "You know, sir, could you just give me just a little bit more advice, some parting advice before you head out? Old man said, sure. Two words. Good decision. Young man thought, okay. I get that. Okay, that makes sense. I hate to prod, but how do I make good decisions? The old man furrowed his brow. One word. Experience. Young man said, all right. Well, I hate to push, but how do I get experience? The old man with a gleam in his eye said, two words. Bad decisions. Right? And there's a lot of truth to that. Following the Lord, there's ups and downs, not because of the Lord being unfaithful, but because we are not always as consistent as we would like. But in the good times of life, in the tough times of life, learning how to depend on the Lord, not simply mentally understanding who He is, but experiencing His presence and power in our life. We never use our spiritual muscles, we begin to have spiritual atrophy. Atrophy is when your muscles begin to weaken and to begin to shrink because of disuse. I've been told from my wife that that's begun to happen in my life. It's not completely untrue. But spiritual atrophy. Begin to lose concern for people who don't know Christ, for people who are hurting, and your heart becomes harder, becomes smaller. Your concern and care for other people not as strong. The passion that you once had, maybe when you first know the Lord, begins to dim. Your conviction over right and wrong becomes a little muddled. Because you begin to experience spiritual atrophy. The Christian faith without evangelism can seem incomplete and boring. The more exciting moments in my Christian life have been sharing my faith. I remember in the place that I'd served previously, and there was a man who he had a very different background than I did growing up, and I remember going to his shop, and I didn't know the things that he was talking about. I'm not mechanically inclined, but I went there because I knew he didn't know Jesus, and so I began to visit with him on a semi-regular basis, and we began to talk about, like I said, things that I didn't have a lot of interest in, and I certainly didn't have a lot to add to these discussions. But I remember one particular day, man, something switched, something turned, and he began to talk about his background and his life, and this man had lived and dealt with suffering that a child should never, ever have to deal with. And so he had been broken and harmed and bruised in his early life. And so we had to work through those conversations. And those aren't easy conversations. But eventually, in time, God allowed me to lead this man to the Lord and to baptize him. Exciting. Challenging. I remember having Mormon missionaries over in our house for dinner when I'd see him around in town. And man, you better be ready. You better be prepared when you have Mormon missionaries over, because they are great guys, super kind. I'm telling you, they believe a very different gospel than we believe. They believe different things about the Bible. They believe different things about Jesus than you and I believe. You better know your Bible if you're going to have a meaningful conversation with them. But we're able to share with them, and hopefully one day they'll come to know the real Savior. Sharing your faith can leave you challenged, motivated, and excited. Those are good things. Good things to be challenged sometimes. When you know that you're going to share your faith with somebody, and you know the kind of questions they're going to have, and you better be looking through your Bible and knowing where these verses are, and then it stokes a fire in you that maybe you hadn't had before. It motivates you. It excites you. to share your faith. And really, this is all the message summed up today. Is if you want to radically grow in your faith, then you must begin sharing the good news. You know what's true on the other end of that? If you don't share your faith, if you don't share the good news, then you begin to plateau in your growth. I think you can only come so close to the heart of the Lord when you're not doing what the Lord requires. In an older survey that's several years old, over 150 million children in this world have stunted growth. It happens for a variety of reasons, but at least one of those reasons, and the main reasons, is from malnutrition. It comes from not getting the nutrients that they need to grow. They should otherwise be healthy and should grow in full stature and full health, but they don't get that. So they're stunted, and it harms them usually for the rest of their lives. Same is true with believers. If you're not receiving the nutrients of God's word and acting on that, your growth can be stunted. You won't be able to do the things that God wants you to do. You become stunted. You'll be plateaued. And nobody in this room wants to sign up for a plateaued, limited, boring Christian life. But I'm telling you, brothers and sisters, the way to fix that is not necessarily another Bible study on top of the other 10 Bible studies you go to. Bible studies are great, and you need to be in part of some of them. But you need to be sharing your faith. And as I talked about last week, we're going to have training for that soon. Instead of just saying, well, Pastor, I don't know what to do. I'm going to help you with that. You've got to do your part, and God will do his part. So you grow in your faith by doing what Jesus did and becoming like him. You know, Jesus told the world about his kingdom. He spent a great deal of time about that. You want to grow? You want to be like Jesus? You got to do what Jesus did. You want to become like Jesus? That's how you're going to grow in your Christian walk. There are a lot of reasons why we should share our faith. Lost souls, walk in obedience. If you want to grow, you want to grow to levels in your Christian walk that you haven't been before, then you need to begin sharing your faith. It doesn't have to be scary, we talked about last week. It doesn't have to be this horrible, awkward production. But no, man, on the way with your friend in the car, at dinner with an old friend, talking over the fence with your neighbor, you can have fantastic, God-honoring, gospel conversation. Believers must share their faith to grow into spiritual maturity. As we move into the invitation time today, this is the challenge of God's word. Did you know that God gives you what you need? Do you believe that? If you believe that, it's hard not to do what God tells us to do with any good reason. God says, I promise you, I'm going to send you out to these conversations with people that you know and that you don't know. And yes, it's going to push you to places that you're uncomfortable with sometimes. He says, I promise you. We talked about last week. He said, I'm going to be with you every step of the way. We know from this passage and elsewhere, he said, I'm going to equip you. I'm going to give you all the things that you need to be effective in sharing your faith. Now, just because people don't respond doesn't mean that you weren't effective. You just need to be a faithful witness that God has called you to be. You got to go to grow. And you want to grow in your faith, young person? You want to grow in your faith, believer who's been at this a long time? There's a lot of other ingredients to grow. You need to share Jesus Christ with those who do not know him. In the invitation time today, I'm going to ask that you pray for boldness this week, that God will give you opportunities, and that you'll have the guts and the boldness to do it. As I end every service, I ask this question. you know Christ? Do you know Jesus? I'm not naive enough to believe that just because we're in a church service that everybody here is Christian. Has there been a time in your life when you've trusted Jesus Christ as your Savior? That you've turned from your sin and you've trusted Him to forgive you the wrong things that you've done? Jesus died on the cross. He took the wrath of God that we deserved for our sin. He took all the punishment of God, so we didn't have to be punished. By placing our faith and trust in Jesus Christ, you can be forgiven of your sin and be made right with God. It doesn't matter about your background. It doesn't matter about your past. You can be right with God. And you can do it right now. Not by joining this church, not by giving, those are good things, but by trusting Jesus. And if you haven't done that, when we stand up and sing, I'll be down here. We'll have our prayer team down here. You can pray with them. We'd love for you to do that. We have cards in the chairs there, and you can fill that out and put it in the little box over here in the back, the big red box, and say, I want to know more about Jesus, and I want to talk with somebody about that. Do that, whatever it takes. Don't leave here unsure of where you will spend eternity. So let's pray. Father, I thank you for your word. Thank you that it guides us and leads us and challenges us. Lord, I pray that you would continue to work in our hearts and our lives. And I pray that you would help us to see the reality of the lost world all around us. You'd give us compassion. You'd give us boldness. You'd give us strength. Share your good news. And I pray that whatever reasons, whatever excuses that we have for not doing what we know we should, God, I pray that we would repent of them. God, that my brothers and sisters in Christ would give them to you today. God, that you would help them to be the faithful witness that they want to be and that you've called them to. Lord, I pray for those who don't know you. Maybe they've never trusted you as their Savior. Maybe they have questions. God, I pray that they'd give their life to you today. But for those who need to be baptized, we'll be doing that next week. We need to walk in obedience. I pray they would do that. They would obey you. They would let us know. Father, we ask these things in Jesus' name.